27th day of March 1981.
What?
So your comments were, Howard asked a question. What was that question again, Howard?
I think I just proposed a statement and you had something you wanted to tell.
I was just thinking, I wonder, my feeling before we stopped taping last summer was kind of like, it seemed pointless. It seemed like she didn't have anything all that important to say. I mean, just, I don't know, there was some vague, so I'm not saying this was really concrete, but it's kind of some vague thinking that I remember having. What is going on? Why is she doing this? She didn't seem to have that much to say. Maybe that was a factor in my decision to stop. Certainly wasn't the only thing, though. But since we started again, it seems like she's had more to say. It seems to have more of a point to it. Do you understand what I mean?
Do you have any idea or feeling as to why it seems to be taking on a different level of interest?
Well, it seems like she learned a lot. She changed. It seems like she, I don't know that she changed. That isn't really what I mean. It seemed like she learned a lot from the beginning till now.
How do you feel? Do you want
maybe
her
it
to
only
know
seems
a lot,
that way.
Or would you rather she be like she was or not be at all?
Do I like that?
Yeah, are you glad that since she...
Well, I'm glad that she seems to have a little more point to what she's saying to me now. I'm kind of glad of that.
Do you think that she has more point because she got more information from someone
on
her side? Or did she change or have a different point of view so she could fit us on this side?
I don't know that. I don't know. I've thought of both of those.
Yeah.
I can't decide.
maybe
I keep
both.
Saying to Henry, maybe he's pulling. Maybe it's being pulled out of your head, you know, and fed back to you. I don't know. Except that it isn't always true. He doesn't always agree with everything she says. So.
Well, some things are for entertainment. Are. An interesting something to go on while time goes by. And at least that's occurring. I recall when one of my sons was 3 years old, he would gather the 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-olds around him and tell them stories one after another.
Which one was that?
Yes.
I was sure of it.
And literally entertain them for minute on end. The stories never had basically any substance of truth. It was just fiction making it up as you go along. It served a purpose. Variety of purposes. I can analyze it which I want. But it was entertaining. It was exciting. It was information. If someone came along and wanted to believe it all, I didn't think he really had a lot of very unique experiences at 3. If they, in other words, those that listened had options. Well, if this is all a story that someone likes to tell for the fun of it, be it whomever, mm-hmm. We have options. Whether the storyteller has options or not, if it is parallel to my illustration, then the storyteller has a complete option. And that is to not tell or change it or to tell more or act smarter or act less intelligent or whatever. So there seems to be an increased resource of information flowing to us now as opposed to the previous round. I wonder what that has to do, or what does that have to do with different people in the room?
I don't know. Or was it always planned that way from the beginning?
Or was it a plan to get more people in the room? Myself and someone else. Or is it the bigger the crowd, the more the information?
Is that what happened? You're telling me that's why you're here now?
No.
No?
I'm not telling that.
Oh, okay.
Granted, I very probably wouldn't be, or at least certainly possibly wouldn't be, if it was as uneventful as the first series.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was uneventful at the beginning, Howard. It just began to seem that way. Well, I don't know if you'd say uneventful.
Well,
interesting but pointless, it
right.
might be
better. Yeah, that's what I mean. In other words, dealing with information that I like to think on and to make decisions or not decisions, whether I care to believe it or think it or whatever, I throw it out or I take some of it. Without taking the ones that said, in the illustration that I gave, the neighborhood kids didn't take the storytelling kid of three. They only listened to it and ran back home and had said, aha. I think we can do.
Well, I think that's what we've always done.
So what is your decision now, Anne? How do you feel at this moment?
Oh, okay.
Do you want to continue?
Yeah, I think so. I feel a little more relaxed.
Well, as you know, it's...
Maybe it doesn't make any difference whether I'm relaxed or not.
More than likely not.
Yeah. At least we have to...
Well, there's something... I can't explain it, but there's... I have to be in a certain frame of mind, I think. I don't know whether it's just that I don't want to do it and won't allow that to happen. Or whether it couldn't, I'm not really sure which it is.
See, you usually like to come a little early and give yourself time to settle down.
Mm-hmm. And I like to be, another thing too, this might be part of my mood today, I like to be by myself before I come here. Today I didn't have the opportunity. I was with someone and busy and active and...
What goes on by yourself during that period?
Just to be quiet. Just to be kind of
the
quiet.
The mind is moving during that time. What's it touching on?
Well, sometimes I just read, and I'm thinking about what I mean is being around people is stimulating to me. If I'm by myself, I can generally relax and let down. Sometimes I don't.
You're reducing all stimuli as the goal.
Yeah, maybe.
Whatever helps you reduce stimuli, external
maybe.
Stimuli?
Yeah, I guess so.
What do you do to reduce your own internal fast coming of thoughts stimuli? To settle down to a one type of thought. Read, is it?
Sometimes.
Any particular kind of material?
Sometimes
you
I
read?
Use hypnosis to kind of narrow things down. Today I didn't have any opportunity to do anything, and maybe that was part of, I didn't even think about that. Maybe that was part of the reason I was so hyper.
Are you?
You don't really want to tape all this, do you? Are you still taping?
Are you saying, or by chance inferring, that when you, by the time you get here and do a session, that you are already under hypnosis before you come?
No, not necessarily.
You alluded to hypnosis, and I wanted to clarify.
Well, you asked me, how do I?
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to clarify. She's under hypnosis, and this is a part of hypnosis.
No, I don't sit down and do that. No, but I don't necessarily mean before I come here. That's what I use. You just asked me a general question. I thought, and that's one thing I do. If I'm reading, I'm focusing my attention only on whatever it is I'm reading. Even if I just sit out in the waiting room and look at a magazine. I'm more relaxed than if I've been with people, see.
Well, when you start now, or in a minute, to do this, what do you do? Do you center on a thought?
What do I do?
Or turn them loose? Well,
maybe let's rephrase this. What happens to you during that time? Because it may not be something she is doing.
Yeah, good point. But are you doing something every time when something happens to you? In other words, when you turn your switch on now, are you turning it off or are you turning it on?
I have to feel like, you know, well, I guess I go back to the feeling I had the very first time we did this. Okay. And I don't know whether I need to, but I guess I've always done that because, maybe because I thought I need it, which is kind of the feeling that I'm going to let whatever's going to happen, let it happen. It's all right.
That so kind you just of have to give it permission.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the best I can do.
Okay. Well, do you, this time I'm going to tape the prayer because Well, let me finish making a statement because usually, because up until this time, people have not known what we do in an actual session. So what I'd like to do is to continue right through, including the prayer.
And leave it on for the entire breath.
Entire whole thing instead of...
That's appropriate.
Because in the past, what we've done is we've only put the tape recorder on when it was happening. So we are now beginning the session. And as usually, we always say kind of a prayer beforehand, so I will just talk and say that prayer. We all saying a prayer, not only I, but we all do that. Whatever is transpiring, then let it be the will of Christ, the Holy Father, and the Holy Spirit, that even though we are assembled a few people here, but I still remember that where two or more are gathered together in His name, that He will be present and He will be among us. So in this kind of a connotation, we ask the Father that He be here now through Christ's name, that He may guide this if it is His will. If it is not, then it certainly must cease and let it be His will. So then let's simply look, seek, ask, and then we may find, as He also directed us to knock, it'll be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find, ask and you will receive. We are asking then now only in His name that whatever is happening in this phenomena that we don't understand, we try to comprehend the mysteries of God, the mysteries of creation, the mysteries of life, then let it be Your will, Father. We ask in hopes that we may receive. And to know that this is happening to us, that we are not performing any unusual hypnosis or any unusual other seances or anything else, is simply, we simply sit here and wait and place ourselves in Your hands, Holy Spirit and Christ. And we will wait now.
Good day.
Good day. Am I talking to Jane again?
You are.
Jane, it's good to hear from you again. You have in the past had said a prayer when you had left. This time, if it pleases you and us here, I will say a prayer before we begin.
That would please me.
Okay. Dear Father, Lord Jesus Christ and Holy Spirit, as we listen to this voice, that let it be from your holy will and your Holy Spirit. And because we don't know, and because we are but little infants in your eyes, we must rely upon your will. And if this is from your soul and mine, dear Father in heaven, through the Lord Jesus Christ, then let it continue, and we are willing to listen. And if it is not, then forgive us, because we don't know. But we thank you for permitting, if it is your will, to experience this unusual phenomenon. Thank you, Father. Jane, there may be some questions I have that I have to ask, if you don't mind, to answer. Do you feel comfortable today?
Yes, there was a slight problem in situating myself, but it is well.
It is well now?
Yes.
Thank you. I have some questions that other people have asked me, and I have some questions of my own. The one question I have is from the sexual thing that Howard Ford asked last time, and if I my memory serves me right, that you mentioned that sex is simply a physical act. And is not this then an act also by instinct and from God for procreation, for life itself?
I believe that I said it was, I believe his question was to do with the spirit, and do we experience such
in the spirit
desires? And I indicated that that was physical.
I see. I must have misunderstood that then. I have not.
I am not certain that I recall. Perhaps we should ask him.
Yes, that's correct. Also, do the counselors or spirits, in essence, what do they do, or what happens while humans are having sexual activity? Do they take a breather and leave, or do they stick around, or do they watch with glee, or what?
Glee. No, because the excitement, it might be that they watch at times with consternation, depending upon the circumstances. There are many times when a helper might view the one to whom they offer assistance and see their offerings go unheeded, and yet be unable to do anything about it.
The other question I have for myself yet, and then I have several other questions. The other question that is this, that if I were to touch you, if I were to touch Ann, the body that you are using for communication, would you feel that touch? Would you feel if I touched your hand? Would you?
I do, and have. In the past, when we have clasped hands.
Yes. That's right, I do remember that, yes. Okay, I'm sorry, then I have forgotten that event.
But you did not know what I experienced.
That's true, and you've asked me then, and I don't remember clearly what you did experience. Did you feel the warmth of my hand? Did you feel the touch? Or?
I inhabit this body at this time, and I may experience whatever she would experience as far as the senses. That is, I may hear you, I may see you, why would I not feel the touch?
Well, yes, that was my curiosity. Let's assume for a moment that if you were to be hurt, that, or were to be, I had pain, then would you feel pain too then, as Jean Tweed?
If it were, I do not recall, I believe I said one time, perhaps you did not understand me, I must be in touch with her physical presence. It is required while I am here for that reason. If there was something wrong within the body itself, do you understand?
Yeah, well, not clearly. The reason I'm asking this question, because I have a curiosity as to where pain is. If I were to inflict a burn on Anne's hand, and you, as Jane, were to feel that pain, then would you say pain then is in the spirit, or the pain is in the body? That's the reason I'm asking this.
My spirit is inhabiting this body, and while I am here, I feel what she would feel if she were here.
Yes, okay. That clears it up.
And would the burn still be on the hand after Anne was back aware?
The
scar or the sore?
Because this is her physical substance, it is not mine. I simply borrow it.
The other thing I had a person ask me, what happens to the mentally retarded who would die and have never regained their full faculties on earth, and when they enter and leave to the other dimension or whatever, heaven or whatever we want to call it?
By this, do you mean mentally deficient, is that what you mean?
Yes, those who are born, who could never learn beyond maybe the first grade and so forth. What happens to them when they pass on the other side? Say that they have not had a chance to accumulate, to learn, to feel the things that, quote-unquote, normal people feel.
You might be surprised when someone under those circumstances dies, their deficiency is most often within the physical, so they do not carry it with them. In the case of some people who are mad, sometimes that is caused by the physical, sometimes it is a problem with the spirit. If that is the case, they bring it with them and it must be dealt with here. The deficiency that you spoke of is left with the body, and those they may have an awareness that is not easily recognized by those who are with them on earth. They have a difficult time sometimes dealing with their life, and this is their obstacle, and it is a very grave obstacle to overcome. However, the manner in which they deal with that obstacle does influence their advancement after they die. It is not as much of a hindrance as you might suspect.
Is this a malady or a problem designed by the Creator for some unusual purpose, or is this simply unique to our physical bodies and an accident of nature? What I mean to say is that, is this a deliberate design for some reason that we don't understand?
For certain individuals, is that what you mean?
Well, yes, or is it simply an accident of nature, and a genetic accident happens, and then, or is this by some ultimate design?
I do not know all of God's ultimate purposes. I cannot tell you that. I do not believe, and I have been told that individuals are not singled out for punishment of such kinds. That is not, I may tell you it is not that. I may tell you I do not know if God has other purposes. He deals in ways that we cannot understand.
Yes. Well, perhaps I thought from your vantage point, being closer to there than we are, you might know.
Perhaps. Oh, there is one other comment that I would like to make. I mentioned those who are suffering from madness, and it is, I do not know necessarily how you deal with these people at this time. I do know how they were dealt with in my day. But when they arrive here, if they're madness was not due to a sickness of the spirit, if you understand what I mean.
Yes.
They are able to progress at a rather rapid rate. It was often the case that they were considered so, I mean, considered mad because of another's or many others' perception of them, and that they had perhaps a very great understanding of the Father and of how they should progress in a spiritual way, where they may not have been able to progress on earth. Do you follow my meeting?
I'll defer this follow-up, this question, perhaps when Dr. Templeton may want to ask you. He's more versed on the mental illnesses and the madnesses. I would like to, perhaps he'd want to pursue this a little later. I'd like to pursue another question, if it pleases you to do so. Would it be all right?
Yes.
Okay. Another person asked me, does God have form? This is not my question, it's still from another person.
Yes.
He has form?
Oh, no. I did not mean to imply that. No, he does not, is my understanding. I have said I have not seen him. What I mean is that I have not progressed to the point where I may be closer to him than I am at present. He is everywhere. And we are very aware of that in this place. He has no form because he is spirit. Form is the essential attribute of the physical substance, as we discussed the attribute of spirit previously. Form belongs to physical substance, and he is not physical.
Well, perhaps this question came from the person, which would be kind of sort of my question too, is in Genesis in the Bible, it So God created man in the likeness and image of himself, and then the artist draw pictures of God having the likeness of the human form. Perhaps this was what meant with that God has form.
Well, we are like him because we are spirit, not because we have form. We are primarily spirit. If the form were, if the body were the essential ingredient of a person, the body would continue with them. And it does not.
Okay. Now the other question is, I know as I talk to you now, and when I first talked to you in the very initial stages, at that time you were a little girl who seemed not to know too much. And then the question is that, did you learn much since we began this communication, or are you only permitted to release more at this point of what you already know?
Yes, I have learned very much since the beginning. At the very beginning, I had no idea that our conversations would continue past my own purpose. And so the answer to both of those is yes, I am permitted to relate more. I also know more to relate. However, there is one thing I would like to say before we proceed, and that is I have discovered an error within myself. I would like to relate to all of you. After our last conversation, my counselor, one of my counselors, asked me, do you know your error? And I do. I have thought at times that perhaps, I am certain at times, that you have credited me with greater knowledge than I have because of the circumstances in which our conversations take place. I am aware of that, and perhaps it is less so now than it was. But there is still some of that quality when we speak. I hesitate at times to say, I do not know, repeatedly. It is a vanity on my part. And so I believe that I have at times answered somewhat hastily, and perhaps without adequate knowledge, and therefore the answers are not completely adequate, although not in, when I said error, I did not mean complete error of that kind. Also, I must consider the effect of my answers upon her, who is my first, she is my first charge. And so I must be more circumspect in my answers. And I hope you will understand.
Yes.
I will try to tell you if I do not know.
All right, fine. Thank you. Well, I guess we're all human. We all...
we are.
I think.
Oh, that is not true.
You're human?
Yes.
Human to me means one of us here with a body.
I am a human being without a body. I am the spirit of a human being.
Spirit, I agree with. Human being.
That is simply a difference in meaning.
Yeah, yes. Four stages.
You will consider yourself a human being forever.
I'll take you at your word. I'll believe that.
Three more questions, Jean, and then if I would have not talked to you about Christ and about God, would you have talked to me on another subject and about something else? Are you responding to? Let me join two questions here together, and then I'll save one question in time. If I would not have talked to you about Christ and God, would you have talked to me on another subject, and have you related to me and to us here in the framework of what we have in our minds and knowledge, knowing probably what we have in our minds and knowledge, and simply sharing with us things that we can understand?
Not only what you can understand, the questions that you have put to me, you yourself and the others, are not only what you are interested in, it is what you need to know. Many times it is what you need to know, and you are searching, it is the area of your search, and I am aware of that.
If I
related to you after I spoke of my death. What information I related to you at those times was suggested by my counselors, and not simply although your questions did dictate our conversation many times, the information that I related to you was also suggested by my counselors, as they have recently the information on the states of existence that was suggested that I relate that to you.
And I appreciate that. If I were to have followed a subject matter based on wanting to know more about the devil, wanting to know more about evil, wanting to know more about witchcraft, and wanting to know more about demon possession, would you have discussed?
I know nothing of witchcraft.
Would you have discussed these subjects with
we
you?
Have discussed evil.
Mm-hmm.
That has been part of our conversation, and could be again if that is what you need to know, but I believe you understand.
Yes, that's true. The other question I have is, what, from a spiritual point of view, since the spirit always exists and is eternal, is never born and never dies, then what is, from your vantage point, being in a non-physical state of existence now, what is the purpose of physical existence of the human life on earth?
We discussed that, you and I. Perhaps you do not recall.
I probably have.
And I do not believe that there were others to hear at that time. Do you recall I described a circle?
Yes, I do now, yeah. I see, okay.
Perhaps I could relate that again.
Oh, I don't think it'd be necessary. We have all of this recorded on our recording tapes of machines here. So it's simply that perhaps as I was sitting here today with you, Jane, these thoughts came to my mind, and it's probably because I could not recall that we have covered that subject matter before. So do you have anything you'd like to share with me personally before I ask the others to participate in this? Anything that you'd like to share with me personally? To me as Henry, the long-nosed inquisitor.
I do not believe so.
Okay. Thank you.
If something occurs to me, I will tell you.
Yes, thank you. Okay. I think that Howard may have some questions that are... Does it disturb you for us to, the three of us here, to be questioning and conversing, or is it somewhat of a pleasure to you?
It is why I am here.
Okay, thank you.
Is it a pleasure?
At times.
Do you have a sense of humor?
I always thought I did.
Do people in your realm have sense of
humor?
Oh,
of course.
Valuable there, same as it is here?
Yes.
When you were here, were you very talkative, or were you very quiet, peaceful, calm voiced person? Compared to others?
I believe I could be considered talkative when around others, but there were many times when I enjoyed my own company and wished to be alone, which is why I rode in the mountains. I enjoyed the company at the hotel, that was nice, and I often would write letters for the miners, those who could not write themselves, and so had much opportunity for contact and did enjoy that.
Comparing to our voices here, you come through Anne's vocal cords quiet, soft, easygoing, not very excitable. Was that your personality when you were here? Or is there something lost in the utilization of her body? Or gained?
That is difficult for me to answer. And difficult for you to know, since you did not know me before. I think perhaps if there has been any change, I would say I am much more contented and calm, yes, than I was. That is probably true.
Okay. Are there unusual... Okay, we call what's going on here I do unusual. It's not the ordinary thing that people do around here. And are there unusual things that happen in your realm that people are researching, looking into, trying to find out more about? Such as what's going on here is unusual to me.
When you speak of my realm, what exactly is it that you mean?
Got me. Whatever and wherever you are.
Got you. That is a strange expression.
You have me at a spot I can't answer, because I haven't been there yet.
Well, I realize, but you have some conception. And do you mean the area that I am in, or do you mean everything that may happen to anyone after death, or do you mean all areas? What is it that
yes,
you
all
mean?
Three. First, in the realm in which you function, the people with whom you associate, and the area in which you circulate, is there some kinds of unusual things going on that get people's attention?
Doing this is an unusual activity from our area. It is perhaps not viewed in the same way that it is as your perception would be. It is of interest. That is why I say I also know of other conversations that occur. Although if I'm not involved, I do not know what is said. But others are also interested in this conversation. And we did have a problem at one time because another wished to speak in like manner. I do not know if you are aware of that, but that did occur.
What did you
Although
do?
It was not successful.
Did you stop it?
I prevented, I was not alone in the effort, prevented the speaking from occurring. However, what happened to her, we could not prevent. We could only encourage her to disregard that effort and to